There was also something more than 18th century humanism and rationalism in their ideas. In many ways, like many educated Europeans of the 19th century, they were romantics. They were, in the one sense, romantic nationalists. They believed it was their sacred mission as enlightened individuals to save Russia from its backwardness. Hence their first society, called the Union of Salvation. And most of all, they had a typical romantic view of the individual. They dreamed of a society in which everybody would be able to realize their full potentialities. They also wanted to live their own lives with meaning, with some higher purpose, not just as the aristocracy seemed to live typically for personal benefit. They wanted to act in a romantic and a heroic way. They wanted to do something for the world that would ennoble them, ennoble their soul, in the truest meaning of the word. And ultimately, this is what happened on Senate Square, beside the statue that Catherine the Great built to honor Peter the Great. This is what happened on December 14th, 1825. This was an effort for all its terrible organization, for all its tragic and pointless outcome, an attempt at least to bring with force, but Peter also used force, to bring about an enlightened state for Russia, one that would ensure civil rights and dignity for all people. But it was also a heroic moment. It was a moment of standing up heroically, at least in theory. In practice, it didn't turn out that way, by a small number of individuals who at least declared before the moment they were ready to die if necessary in order to say that Russia needed to change. In this light, let me offer a few concluding words about Decembrism in Russia. It should be clear that what most offended men like Turgenev was the terrible contrast between what ought to be their ideals from books, from experience in Western Europe, and what was, what they could see before their very eyes. They believed in rationality. They believed in the rule of law. What they saw was personal and arbitrary government, inspired more by prejudice than reason. They believed in the natural dignity of all human beings, the importance of personal self-fulfillment. What they saw was that the majority of Russians lived in what amounted to slavery. And even for the elite, their freedoms were often restricted. Their rights were restricted in so many ways. They wished Russia to be respected in the world as a Western, civilized society. Instead, they saw at best Russia was feared in the world as a mighty, martial, political force, and often by many viewed with contempt, something they knew very personally from their time in Western Europe, where it often pained them, as it pained Turgenev when he was at college in Göttingen, to hear the way Europeans spoke about Russia as a savage land filled with bears, filled with a backward society. Symbolically, and really tragically, this contrast between ideals and realities was apparent on the very day that this movement suffered its worst blow. On July 13th, 1826, five of the Decembrists, as indicated, were to be taken out into a public square beside the great Peter and Paul fortress and, before a crowd, hanged. The chairs were pulled out from under their feet, and at this moment, three of the victims, after hanging briefly in the ropes, slipped through the knots and fell to the ground. Before they were strung up again, one of the condemned Decembrists, a man named Sergei Muravyov Apostol, whose legs were broken by his fall, remarked, in words that in many ways might serve as a sort of epigram for much of Russian history, he said, "My God, they can't even hang men properly in Russia." Next time, we'll look at a ruler who came to power amidst this rebellion, the man many feared, and indeed with good reason, was determined to set back the clock on reform in Russia. And this was Emperor Nicholas I.